This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
By the time they signed up for the tour, it had already taken on a reputation that felt a little harder to explain than most. It wasn't marketed any differently than the others, just another guided walk through an older part of town, a few historic stops, a handful of stories tied to buildings that had outlasted whatever originally gave them purpose. But this one came up in conversation in a different way. People didn't talk about it like it was entertaining or even particularly scary. They talked about it like something had happened that they couldn't quite put into words afterward. The details never seemed to match. That alone made it interesting enough to try. The group met just before dusk in a small lot behind a row of older buildings that had long since settled into the background of the town. There were maybe a dozen people in total, loosely gathered, most of them speaking quietly while they waited. It felt casual, unstructured, the kind of thing people signed up for without expecting much more than a way to pass a couple of hours. Nothing about it stood out at first. The guide arrived without much introduction, moving through the group with a calm, almost reserved demeanor that set the tone immediately. There was no attempt to build anticipation, no exaggerated energy. He outlined the route in a few sentences, explained how long it would take, and started walking. For the first part of the tour, everything unfolded exactly the way you would expect. They moved from one location to the next, stopping occasionally while he shared pieces of local history, fires, accidents, small details that had been passed along enough times to feel established, even if no one could say for sure how much of it was accurate. The stories were interesting without being overdone, grounded enough that it never felt like they were being led toward a reaction. A few times, someone thought they'd noticed something, a sound that didn't seem to come from anywhere, a movement just outside their line of sight, but each moment passed quickly, dismissed without much thought. Nothing lingered long enough to feel real. If anything, it made the entire experience feel more predictable. That was what made the last stop stand out. The route shifted without much announcement, leading them away from the more open streets and into an area that felt less maintained. The ground underfoot was uneven, the path narrower, bordered by structures that looked like they had been left alone for longer than the rest of the town. The light had dropped off enough by then that everything took on a muted, flattened look, details harder to distinguish, unless you focused on them. The building itself didn't immediately draw attention. It looked like everything else around it. Aged, slightly worn, easy to overlook if you weren't being led directly toward it. But the pace slowed as they approached, and that change was enough to shift the mood of the group without anyone acknowledging it out loud. They stopped near a rear entrance. Instead of beginning with a full explanation, the guide paused, taking a moment to look over the group as if deciding how much to say. When he did speak, it was shorter than expected, the details less defined than the stories that had come before it. Rather than describing a specific event, he outlined a pattern. People who had come through the space reported small, inconsistent experiences, nothing dramatic, nothing that could be verified after the fact. A sense of being watched that didn't follow them outside, sounds that only one or two people would notice at a time. Moments that felt significant while they were happening, but harder to explain once they ended. It wasn't framed as anything unusual, just something that happened there. There was one instruction given before they went inside, delivered in a tone that stood out precisely because nothing else had required direction up to that point. If anything happened, they were not to react immediately. They were to wait and see if it continued, and no explanation followed. That absence lingered longer than the instruction itself. The air inside the building felt different right away. Not drastically colder, but enough to register as a contrast from the outside. The shift settled in gradually as they moved further in, the light dropping off behind them while the interior took on a muted, enclosed feeling. The walls were unfinished, the space carrying a faint dampness that seemed to hold in place rather than circulate. They gathered along the edges of the room without needing to be told, leaving the center open. The guide positioned himself off to one side, making no effort to direct where anyone stood. It gave the moment a different structure, one that felt less guided and more observational, as if whatever was supposed to happen didn't require much involvement from him. The lighting was reduced, not completely removed, but dimmed enough that the room shifted. Edges softened, depth became harder to judge. The space felt smaller, more contained, even though nothing about it had changed physically. For a while, nothing happened. The quiet settled naturally, drawing attention to the small sounds people usually ignored. A shift in weight, a breath taken a little deeper than usual. The faint movement of clothing against itself had created a baseline, something steady enough that any change would be noticeable. The first shift was subtle, a slight difference in the air passing quickly enough that it could have been dismissed if it hadn't returned. It brushed lightly along one side, barely there, gone almost as soon as it registered. Then it came back. This time it lingered just long enough to feel intentional. It didn't move like a draft. It didn't pass through the space and disappear. It settled, holding in one place, the temperature dropping just enough to create a clear contrast against everything around it. There was a pause, then a second reaction somewhere nearby. Not loud, not enough to break the silence, but enough to confirm it wasn't isolated. Someone else had felt something too. The stillness in the room changed with that realization. It no longer felt neutral. It carried weight now, a tension that came from waiting rather than fear. No one moved. No one spoke. The instruction held them in place, forcing them to stay with the moment instead of reacting to it. The sensation deepened. What had started as a change in temperature became something more defined, the pressure subtle but unmistakable. It didn't spread. It didn't shift. It held its position, steady in a way that made it difficult to ignore. At the edge of that awareness, something else followed. A sound low and close, positioned in a way that made it hard to place. It didn't repeat, and it wasn't clear enough to understand, but it carried a structure that felt deliberate. Before there was time to process it, the moment broke. A sudden, uncontrolled reaction from somewhere in the room cut through the silence, sharp enough to disrupt everything at once. The lights came back immediately, the transition from dim to visible happening faster than expected. The change was instant. The air felt normal again. The pressure was gone. Whatever had been present had disappeared without leaving anything behind. For a brief moment, no one moved. The room held in that shift, caught between what had just happened and the need to return to something familiar. The guide looked over the group, his expression controlled in a way that suggested he had seen this before. Without offering an explanation, he directed them back toward the entrance. The decision came quickly. Too quickly. No one argued. No one lingered. The group followed without hesitation, the quiet returning in a different form as they stepped back outside. It wasn't until they were clear of the building that the unease settled in. Not because of what had happened, but because of how abruptly it had ended. The air outside felt warmer than it should have. Not by much, but enough to register after being inside, as if the temperature shift had followed them out instead of staying contained where it belonged. No one said anything at first. The group spread out slightly, some stepping further into the open, others lingering closer to where they had come out, all of them carrying the same quiet hesitation that hadn't been there earlier in the night. It took a few minutes before people started to process what had happened. Not out loud, not in any organized way, but in the small, uneven conversations that formed between two or three people at a time. A glance, a quick question, a comparison that didn't quite line up. The reactions were cautious, measured, as if everyone was trying to confirm something without fully committing to it. That was when the differences started to surface. What one person described didn't match what someone else had felt. The timing was off, the placement inconsistent. Some had noticed the shift in the air, but nothing beyond that. Others had felt something more defined, something that didn't move the way a normal draft would. A few hadn't experienced anything at all, which only made the rest of it harder to settle on a single explanation. It wasn't that anyone was exaggerating, but if anything, they seemed to be downplaying it. The pieces simply didn't fit together. That more than the experience itself made it difficult to ignore. The guide stayed slightly removed while this was happening, not interrupting, not offering clarification. He moved toward a small table that had been set up off to the side, where a few items were arranged under a string of soft lights. Equipment, mostly. Nothing complicated, nothing that hadn't already been used inside. He handled it with a kind of practiced efficiency, packing things away without drawing attention to himself, but not quickly enough to suggest he was in a hurry either. It was controlled, deliberate, like he was giving the group time to settle without engaging with what they were saying. That alone felt off. Up to that point, the tour had been structured around explanation. Every stop had come with context, with some attempt to connect what people were seeing to something that had happened there. Even the smaller moments earlier in the night had been acknowledged, framed in a way that kept everything grounded. This was different. No explanation was offered, no attempt was made to align what had just happened with the pattern he had described before they went inside. It created a gap that didn't seem accidental. Eventually, the group was guided a little further away from the building, back toward the path they had come from. The shift was subtle but intentional, creating distance without making it obvious that distance was the goal. The building itself remained just within view, partially obscured by the angle, its upper windows dark against the fading sky. For a moment, it seemed like the tour might simply end there. But something held it in place. Not formally, not in any way that required attention, but enough that no one immediately moved to leave. The conversations that had started continued in fragments, quieter now, more focused. People weren't comparing what they had felt as much as they were trying to make sense of why it didn't match. That was when the first detail shifted. Someone mentioned the location of what they had experienced, indicating a spot that didn't line up with where anything had been described earlier. It was a small inconsistency, easy to overlook on its own, but it was followed by another and then another. Each one slightly different, each one just enough to disrupt the idea that they had all been reacting to the same thing. The realization built slowly. What had happened inside hadn't followed a pattern, at least not the one they had been given. The guide returned then, his presence re-entering the group without announcement. He looked over them briefly, taking in the shift in energy without commenting on it. When he spoke, it was measured, controlled, and noticeably vague. He acknowledged that experiences like that could vary. That no two people would necessarily feel or notice the same thing, that the environment itself could influence perception. It sounded reasonable. It also avoided the question entirely. There was no direct response to what people had described, no attempt to address the inconsistencies or explain why the sensations had been so specific, so localized in a way that didn't align with what had been outlined beforehand. It was enough to move things along, not enough to settle anything. The tour officially ended a few minutes later without ceremony. People began to disperse in small groups, some heading back toward their cars, others lingering just long enough to finish quiet conversations before leaving. The building remained behind them, unchanged, its presence less obvious now that they had stepped away from it. But it hadn't lost its hold completely. There was a pull to look back. Not strong enough to draw attention, not enough to stop anyone from leaving, but persistent in a way that didn't feel entirely voluntary. A few people did, briefly, their focus lingering on the upper portion of the structure where the darkness had settled more fully. There was nothing there, at least nothing that could be clearly identified. The lights strung near the side cast just enough illumination to define the edges, but the windows themselves remained dark, reflective in a way that obscured more than it revealed. It should have been enough to dismiss it, and yet the feeling didn't fully pass. Even as they moved further away, even as the building slipped out of view, the sense that something had been left unresolved stayed with them. Not because of what they had experienced, but because of how incomplete it felt. Something about it hadn't been explained, something about it hadn't been acknowledged. And the more distance they put between themselves and that space, the clearer that absence became. Not in a way that suggested something had followed them, but in a way that suggested they had been shown only part of what was there. The drive back should have settled it, or at least dulled the edge of it enough to make it easier to put away. That usually happens after something like that, especially when distance gets involved. Once you leave a place behind, the details tend to lose their immediacy, softening into something easier to explain or dismiss. The longer you sit with it, the more likely it is to feel like a moment that only made sense because you were standing in it at the time. That didn't happen here. The conversation in the car never quite found a steady rhythm. It circled the same points without landing anywhere solid. Each attempt to piece things together leading back to the same problem. What had happened inside didn't match what they had been told to expect, and the more they went over it, the harder it became to ignore how deliberately that gap had been left unaddressed. It wasn't just that something had happened, it was that no one had made any effort to explain it afterward, as if acknowledging it directly would have required saying more than they were willing to say. That detail lingered longer than anything else. By the time they got back, the night had settled in fully, the kind of quiet that makes familiar spaces feel slightly removed from themselves. The shift from being surrounded by a group to being alone again should have made it easier to move on, to let the experience stay where it belonged. Instead, it made everything feel more pronounced, as if the absence of distraction had given it more room to settle in. It wasn't fear that kept it present. It was awareness. Every small sound carried a little more weight than it should have, each one drawing attention before resolving into something ordinary. It created a pattern that was difficult to ignore, not because anything unusual was happening, but because everything felt just slightly out of place. Eventually, exhaustion overtook it. Morning brought with it the kind of normalcy that usually puts things back into perspective. The light, the routine, the familiarity of being somewhere that made sense. All of it worked together to create distance from what had happened the night before. For a while, it was enough. The experience shifted into something that could be talked about without the same immediacy, something that could be revisited without feeling like it was still unfolding. It might have stayed that way if not for what came next. A few days later, the subject came up again, not intentionally, but in passing. Someone else who had been on the tour mentioned going back to the location on their own, curious enough to see if anything would feel different without the structure of the group. At first, it sounded like exactly the kind of thing you would expect. The building hadn't changed. The layout was the same, the air inside still carried that same faint dampness, and the quiet remained intact in a way that made the space feel separate from everything outside of it. But whatever had happened during the tour didn't repeat itself. There was no shift in the air, no sensation that settled in one place, no moment that stood out as anything more than the natural stillness of an empty structure. It should have been reassuring Instead, it made the original experience harder to explain. If what they had felt was tied to the building itself, there should have been some consistency, something that could be returned to, even if it didn't happen in exactly the same way. But there was nothing. The absence of it wasn't comforting. It was confusing. And that was when the focus shifted. The difference wasn't the location. It was everything surrounding it. The way the tour had been structured, the way they had been brought into that space and held there just long enough for something to happen, and then moved out before there was time to fully process it. The instruction not to react immediately, the lack of explanation afterward, the decision to end the experience as soon as it broke. Taken separately, each of those things could be dismissed. Together, they suggested something else entirely. It didn't feel like coincidence. It felt controlled. Not in the sense that anything had been staged or exaggerated, but in the way the experience had been managed. As if there were limits to how much people were meant to notice or how long they were meant to remain in that space once something started to happen. That realization didn't come all at once. It built gradually, settling into place as each part of the night was reconsidered from a different angle. What had initially felt like an isolated moment began to feel more intentional. Not because of what had happened, but because of how it had been handled. What remained unclear was why it had been cut short so quickly, and why no one had been willing to acknowledge it directly afterward. The more it was thought about, the more that question stayed at the center of it. Not what was there, but how much of it they had actually been allowed to experience, and once that possibility settled in, it became difficult to look at the tour the same way. It was no longer just a collection of stories tied to old buildings or a series of locations meant to entertain or unsettle. It felt like something more measured than that, something that guided people toward an experience and then carefully limited how far it could go. Whatever lay beyond that limit was never explained. No one ever clarified what might have happened if they had stayed longer or reacted differently or simply been left alone in that space without direction. That absence of explanation lingered longer than anything else because it left behind a question that never quite went away, no matter how much time passed or how often the details were revisited. Not about what had been felt, not about what had been heard, but about what had been intentionally left unexplored.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, that's who we are,
and that's who we care about.
Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino.
Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots.
You can't beat that.
So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto,
America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino.
Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots.
You can't beat that.
So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto,
America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds.
Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day.
Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.